Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's just be honest this morning. There are things about the Bible that we just don't understand. We can study the Bible all of our lives, and we will still have questions on this side of heaven. Now, the problem for this does not lie with God's Word. The problem lies with us, with our limited knowledge and our understanding. But the reason I bring this up is because this account of Jesus' baptism has been misunderstood by people. In fact, people have created false teachings from this account. And maybe even you yourself have questions about Jesus' baptism. And so this morning we ask God to guide us and to enlighten us about this account, that it may comfort us. It comforts us because we see that Christ, the Anointed One, comes forward to baptize us with the Spirit and to be baptized for us by John. And speaking of John the Baptist, we have been hearing about him quite a lot these past few weeks and past 2 months, really. And we have emphasized the importance of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of the Christ. He prepared the way of the Lord. He was God's prophet. He spoke God's word to the people with such great authority. And the people realized this. Pharisees, tax collectors, Roman soldiers, and many other people came to hear John and his preaching. And a lot of them were baptized by John. John the Baptist was so popular among the people that we were told this morning, all were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. These people didn't know who the Christ was, but they were eagerly expecting him. For thousands of years, they constantly heard of how God would send the Christ, the Anointed One, to save them. And we can sympathize with that eagerness, can't we? It has been 2,000 years since Christ was here on earth, and we too eagerly expect him to return one day. So it is great to hear that these people were eagerly expecting the Christ, yet they mistook John the Baptist to be the Christ. When John heard this, he said to the people, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John the Baptist did the right thing here. He understood his part of God's plan of salvation. He knew that he paled in comparison to the Christ who was coming after him. He even said he was not worthy to untie the sandals of the Christ. And to prove that Christ was far superior than himself, John said to the people, "I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now let me ask you, do you understand what John is saying here? Maybe some of you do, but maybe most of you don't even have a clue what he's talking about. In fact, John's statement here has been misunderstood by people. Some people take this statement and they think that John's baptism was not as valid as the baptism we have today. John's baptism did not offer forgiveness of sins. It didn't offer the Holy Spirit. Instead, his baptism was nothing more than a sign, a symbol that the people would change their lives. But Scripture does not say that at all. Scripture makes it very clear that John's baptism offers the same things that we receive in baptism, such as the Holy Spirit, and forgiveness. But what does John mean then when he says, I baptize you with water, but the Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit? To understand John's point here, look at the people that he is talking about. John was just a human like you and me. John is admitting that the only thing that he does in baptism is applying the water. That's it. But the Christ who would come after him would be able to give people the Holy Spirit. Therefore, John was saying, I am only a human, but the Christ who will come forward is God himself. Yet this is not the only way that Christ was superior than John the Baptist. John said, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I know a lot of you have grown up on farms. I know some of you are still farmers to this day. But did every single one of us understand what John is talking about here? After all, what's a winnowing fork? What's a threshing floor? And what does that have to do with Jesus? John here is talking about their method of harvesting grain. After the farmers chopped down their grain from their fields, they would gather it up on their threshing floor. A threshing floor was a large circular platform where they would use animals to help separate the grain from the stalk. And then the farmer would take his winnowing fork and throw it all up in the air. And since the grain had some weight to it, the grain would fall back down, but the chaff, the unwanted part, would be blown away by the wind. And then the farmer would gather his grain into his barn, and then he would gather up all the chaff and burn it in fire. Therefore, by using this imagery, John is saying that the Christ would gather his believers to himself, and all the unbelievers will be burned. So as Jesus is clearing his threshing floor, where do you fall? Are you like the grain that falls back down to Jesus? Or are you like the chaff that is blown away? I think we would all confidently say that we are the grain. But think about how many times we act like chaff that's blown away. There are so many sins of this world that tries to blow us away from Christ. Maybe it's the sin of convenience that's blowing you away. That the only reason that you come to worship, or that you stay in Bible class, or that you bring your children to Sunday school, is when it's convenient for you. You're not that busy. You finished all the chores on the farm, and then you can be here. Maybe it's the sin of loving money that's blowing you away from Christ. Soon, those credit card bills for the Christmas season are coming. And we can be so focused on paying those bills that it takes away the best and the first fruits of our offerings that we give to God. Maybe it's the sin of not producing fruits of repentance that's blowing you away from Christ. You may think that since we are saved by grace through faith, there's no need to repent of sin. There's no need to turn away from it. And there's no need to let our light shine in everything that we do. But even though we are saved by grace through faith, Scripture also says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We have all acted like chaff that's blown away. And therefore, Christ should only gather us up to burn in the unquenchable fires of hell. And therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be like the chaff that is blown away, but rather be grain that falls back to Christ and turns to him for forgiveness. But when we ask God to forgive us, how can we know with full assurance that we are forgiven? If you have ever wondered if you are forgiven, then look at the baptismal font. Here, we can know we are forgiven because Christ, the Anointed One, came forward to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Paul described what baptism does for us this morning. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Baptism saves us. For some of you, you may remember the day of your baptism. For most of us, we can't remember it because we were only infants when it happened. But regardless if you can or cannot remember your baptism, you can always look at the baptismal font here in the front of church. It is placed here to be a constant reminder of your baptism, to constantly remind you of the blessings of your baptism. Therefore, you can know with full assurance that you can pray to God for forgiveness because you are praying to Him through the waters of baptism. And you can know with full assurance that God forgives you because He has given you forgiveness through the waters of baptism, because Christ, the Anointed One, baptized you with the Holy Spirit. But there was something that Christ had to do before He could save us through baptism. Baptism does not have any saving power without the redemptive work of Christ. And so in order for Christ to save us from our sins, He had to be baptized for us by John. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as He was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What an amazing event this was. John, the forerunner of Christ, passes the torch to Christ. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and the Father publicly announced that this was His Son and that He was well pleased with Him. But even though this is such an amazing event, the baptism of our Lord has been misunderstood by people. In fact, people have created heresy from this own account. Some people believe that this is when Jesus became God, that the Father adopted Jesus as His Son. Others teach that Jesus was always a man, but here at His baptism, God gave Jesus divine power. But Scripture does not say any of these things. It doesn't even hint at it. Scripture makes it very clear that Jesus was always God. He was with God in the beginning, and as true God, He always had divine power. But it still may make us wonder, what is happening here? And why was Jesus baptized? Even John the Baptist in Matthew's account was confused by this. He said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus said to him, "It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We know that He never committed any sins, so He didn't need His sin to be washed away. But in order to save us from sin, He became one like us in every way. Jesus didn't separate Himself from sinners and refuse to be baptized, but He became one with us by being baptized for us. The baptism of our Lord was always a part of God's plan of salvation. And here at His baptism, God anointed Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power to fight off against every evil temptation in His ministry. And that is what makes the Father's proclamation here so special. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, God said, "I am pleased with my Son." And towards the end of Jesus' ministry, God once again said, "With you I am well pleased." Christ was perfect in every way. but also Christ, the Anointed One, came forward and gave up his life for us by dying on the cross for our sins. Since Christ did that for us, since Christ fulfilled all righteousness, we now have life because our baptism connects us to Christ and what he has done. Scripture tells us we were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Because of Christ, because of what he has done, and because of our baptism, we are saved. And that is why in our final hymn this morning, we will sing, "Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ our King, heirs of salvation, trusting his promise, faithfully now God's praise we sing." Praise God for the baptism of our Lord. May this account not be something that makes you wonder or confused, but may it be an account that comforts you. May it comfort you to know that Christ, the Anointed One, came forward to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and to be baptized for us by John in order to save us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.